Fred Film Radio, Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, Czech Republic.
Future Frame is a long-standing annual showcase of young, promising European filmmaking talent organised by the European Film Promotion in collaboration with the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. And joining us at this time is one of the filmmakers selected for the 2021 programme. All the way from Iceland is Nina Palmadottir. Nina, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a real pleasure. And first of all, congratulations on being part of this year's Future Frames lineup. How does that feel?
Thank you so much. I mean, it feels, I'm very honored. It feels very, that was the first thought that I felt, that I was very honored, and it's very encouraging. And it's a very great group of people, and yeah, super happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a long-standing program. I've been covering it, actually, for a couple of years now. It's always a good way kind of to find out more about, let's say, new talent on the international film scene. So I usually like to kind of start off these interviews by just asking a simple question, and feel free to answer it in any way you like. But what is it that prompted you to become a filmmaker?
Well, it was just my interest in films. Like, I lived next to this video store when those were still around, and when yeah. I was little, and I was just always renting films. And at some point, I just started to think, you know, why does this film make me feel this way? And like, if a film sat with me for a long time, like, what made it so impactful? And started to think about, you know, the frames and what I found beautiful and moving. And yeah, then I just figured, like, I was taking photographs on my little Canon IXIS camera when I was a teenager, and yeah, it just kind of naturally progressed into, you know, why not me? Why I want to tell stories
right.
This way. So I want to make people feel what films make me feel.
And then, so after that, what happened? What was your journey like? Did you study film?
Yeah, so I did university in Reykjavik first in film studies. And then I applied for the graduate film program at NYU Tisch in New York. And I got into that program, and I studied filmmaking there for 3 years. So graduating in 2019.
Cool. And actually, one thing that I forgot to ask, and I'm kind of curious now thinking back to it, is when you first started taking those photographs, was there anything in particular that you were taking photographs of, or anything in particular that drew you to taking those photographs?
I mean, at that time, I was always listening to, you know, music on my headphones, and I was, you know, kind of like this, like, dreamer teenager. I would, like, be in a car, in a moving car, and look outside and think, like, oh, this, what I'm looking at is explaining how I feel when I listen to this music, and just kind of, yeah, I think it was just my environment and nature and like, quiet places that kind of captured my attention at that time, still does.
yeah. I mean, the film that is presented as part of the Future Frames program is titled All Dogs Die.
Yeah.
And I feel that nature is quite an important presence in this film. So I guess that connection to nature is long lasting. It still remains to this day.
Yeah, I think, you know, something that I feel like, as, you know, having grown up in this country, and it's very, you know, the nature and the spectacle of it, is that sometimes, like, people reflect themselves in nature and in these spaces. And I think, you know, it goes hand in hand, you know, the emotions with the nature, at least for me.
Yeah, it is a beautiful landscape, one that I actually only know about from watching movies, because I've never been to Iceland, but thank goodness for the cinematic medium. yeah. But so, I mean, speaking of All Dogs Die, would you mind maybe just saying a few words so that our listeners kind of understand what the short is about?
Yeah, the short is about an older man that lives in kind of a solitary in the countryside, and he's struggling with, you know, with his health and with something that he doesn't feel like sharing with his granddaughter that visits. And it's just about, you know, letting somebody in and letting go. And you know, it came from this, you know, wondering about, like, generations of kind of keeping your emotions inside and you know, not letting it out and having to be strong and having to, you know, keep your head up. And it's about this old man and how he kind of like lets down his walls and it's reflected in his companion, which is his dog.
Yeah. And is this kind of situation is something that you kind of experienced or are familiar with in any way?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's always been curious to me, like the older generations, like how when I got older, I started to learn all these like stories about, you know, my family history and what my parents have been through and what, you know, people have been through and how it's just kind of like at that time, like people couldn't do anything about it. Like they couldn't kind of heal those emotions and they just kind of kept it inside. And I always wondered about that and that element. And, you know, it kind of goes to the subject of, you know, what we call toxic masculinity, which I think is not just about, you know, men, but, you know, just families can suffer from that element. And when they don't resolve something and they don't talk about things that are difficult or traumas.
And Nina, one of the words that comes to mind watching this film, I felt, is empathy. Now, was this an important part of the film for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of always been fascinated with, you know, how much we can see in each other without using words. And like if we look at a person, you know, even if we don't know them, like if you see somebody, like, for example, like in the train or something, like sometimes if you just take a good look, you can kind of feel if somebody's struggling or somebody's suffering and or have a sense, you know, about it. And I've been trying to look at the world in that way and kind of sometimes just like look up and look at the emotions around me. And I think that's always fascinated me, like how much we can be connected, but we're not as much as we should be.
Yeah.
It's just kind of this like daily life empathy, you know.
What about filmmaking wise, just making a film that says a lot, but words-wise, I mean, it doesn't use many words. Do you feel that it's challenging to get something across by using less words and being more quiet and subdued?
I mean, I think it's just kind of like, you know, a practice. You know, it's normal when you're starting to write something that you have something that could be lessened, and you know, you rewrite and you think, you know, is it necessary to say this? Like how. And that's just in the writing process. But then it's just about like thinking about your own life and like how people actually communicate and how sometimes the strongest communication is like without a lot of words. Mm. And I think, you know, that in general is just a lot on my mind when it comes to people interacting with each other, those quiet moments. So I think I always try and put that into what I do.
How was it to collaborate with your actor then? What is his name, by the way, so that we kind of give him a shout out?
Theodor Juliusson.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel that he's, you know, his performance is quite powerful. And at the same time, again, we're going back to that fact that he doesn't say much in words, but somehow he's still able to communicate that. So how did you collaborate with him to craft this performance?
I mean, we had such a strong bond from the get-go, and I think when it comes to such a delicate, you know, subject, and you just have to have a lot of dialogue, and you have to get to know each other, you know, and we spend a lot of time talking and kind of digging into this together, and I think the foundation, you know, that we built and the trust that we had. Is very fundamental to when you come to set and just to allow space. I think, you know, when you have trust and you allow space and you have somebody that's, you know, so incredibly talented and experienced, I just felt lucky to, you know, experience that and just kind of, you know, observe him as well and learn from him. Yeah, I think it's just about, you know, for me, it's just about, training, you know, this thought of observing those quiet moments and just, you know, keep the camera rolling and just, you know, not be in a rush. Mm. And you can capture something very unique.
I think earlier you briefly mentioned music, and I think that in a film like All Dogs Die, there is a rhythm to it that's almost musical. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I shout out to my composer, Peter Behn, which I worked with before. And I think, you know, we have this idea, like musical score is a part of the soundscape. And it's all, you know, this whole organ, you know. So, and I think, you know, also in editing, like it all has to be this, like, you know, piece that, you know, it's that works together in harmony. So, it's not, yeah, I've always seen like musical scores as a part of, you know, the nature and part of the world, you know, and part of the soundscape and the sound work.
By the way, are you working on anything right now? Are you staying active and creative even in the midst of such troubled times in the world?
Yeah, I try to. You know, I really enjoy, you know, doing smaller projects and music videos and stuff like that. Mm. I'm trying to carve out a little documentary short that is just completely independent that I wanted to do soon, but I have to maybe recalculate after, you know, the current situation. Yeah. But, and then I'm working on my first feature. So hopefully that will come into light in the next couple of years.
It's interesting that you're also working in a documentary form. So you're not, you're kind of, you know, interested also in that as well as your fiction work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very fascinated with documentary work that's unconventional, or I don't even know what a conventional documentary is, but I guess it's going to be a very poetic piece, and it's just kind of no rules, just, you know, telling a story with visuals.
Kind of like Chris Marker style. Oh, no words. Okay, yeah. I guess words are important in Chris Marker cinema. Cool. Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing that. And I wish you all the best with this feature project. Is there anything that as you're kind of preparing it that you not worried about, but you think that might be a challenge making that transition from short to feature?
I mean, I think, you know, I've really enjoyed these like intimate settings of making short films and just kind of working with a small team of people that you trust, you know, with your life. Mm. And I think, you know, the idea of, you know, bigger crews and, you know, bigger budget and all that kind of overwhelms me sometimes. But I mean, I think, you know, the preparation of doing a handful of shorts is, you know, has been helpful. And you know, when you have a good team and you have a good producer, like, it's fine. But yeah, I think, you know, I really enjoy the intimacy of making shorts.
Right. But you're ready to make that transition.
I'm ready, yeah.
Which I guess at some point you got to make, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think, I feel up for it. And it's going to be a ride.
Awesome. Well, I wish you all the best with it. And thanks very much for joining us and chatting with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.